It's time for JT the Brick.
This show has been the show of record, Raiders Radio, for 25 years. Let's keep up the passion. We need to reset the show. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. We're going to start talking sports.
JT the Brick.
We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. No, we love to hear from the heart and soul of Raider fans all over the globe on the Raiders mobile app. So we're going to be a sports talk show, mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. My job every day is to come in with passion and energy, give you something to talk about, react to. Hopefully you want to react to it, comment on it, and we do a talk show.
And now,
no bueno.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, Bobby and I are back here live in the studio on Raider Nation Radio. Monday, schedule release coming up on Wednesday. Raider Nation, get ready. There will be games leaked. I don't leak stuff. I wait for the Raiders to put it out. If there is a rumor, there's going to be national games that are being announced ahead of the Wednesday release. So as we've been talking about it, you'll see more and more. And I think there's a couple of opportunities for some really... Raiders should always have a big game at Allegiant Stadium. Big. And even if the Raiders are an 8-9 win team, they should have a big game at home. It's Vegas. Vegas wants primetime. They've got to get at least one big game. And I'm not talking about the Thursday night game. Everyone gets a Thursday night game. Thursday night game is not super significant. We're talking Monday night football or Sunday night football. And with some of the Florida games that they have locked up with Tampa and Miami, playoff teams, and then the New Orleans game, right? Derek Carr in New Orleans will be there for that one, no matter when that date is. We'll be in New Orleans hosting you. Hopefully you make that one of your road trips. And for the first time in a long time, first time I believe in Vegas history, the schedule is going to be better on the road than it is at home. I mean, you know the story with the Raider games at home. We got to get more Raider fans in the seats, not selling their tickets to brokers and just throwing them up there so anybody could come in, normally the opposing team. But this schedule is heavy for the Raiders on the road with marquee games. So one of the things I like to do here is, from time to time, tell a personal story. I don't think I do it often. A lot of shows that all they do is talk personal about, you know, cheeseburgers to movies and all that. Here, I'm mostly the stick to sports guy. But it was a fun weekend with the Stones in town, and I want to share some stories. And we'll have John Katsalamidis, Johnny Katz, on sometime at the end of the week, because I ran into him on the floor at the Stones show, and he was with Antonio Fargas, Huggy Bear. If you don't know who Huggy Bear is, look it up. He's the father of Justin Fargas, the great running back one time in the NFL and college at USC in Michigan, played for the Raiders. He was there with Johnny Katz on the court. So Friday night, I went to dinner with my son. My son's in this new NIL business here in town. He's an aspiring sports agent. He's doing really well and having a fun little start to his professional life. And there was a gentleman that I wanted him to meet, so I put together a dinner at Piero's, the legendary restaurant here in town where they filmed the movie, parts of the movie, Casino. Most people who know me in Vegas know you've probably been to Piero's. It's a bucket list. It's one of the greatest restaurants I've ever been to when it clicks and it's right. You just feel like you're in old school, anywhere from 60s to 80 Vegas. It's just classic. The service is elite. The menu's amazing, from stone crab to Italian. I had the veal parmesan off the bone. It was incredible. The pasta side dishes, the garbage salad. So my son are sitting there with this gentleman, and they were talking business, and he was getting to know my son. And he had a little wine list going and just kicking back, having a beautiful evening. And I look up, and Mick Jagger's walking into the dining room. This is Friday night, and I'm like, oh, my God. For me, that's fanboy stuff, more so than a football player or a Hall of Famer walking in the room. It's bleeping Mick Jagger, and we're going to see him the next night on Saturday night. So Mick walks in to Piero's, and he's wearing a black hat, baseball cap, no logo on it. This windbreaker, this exotic like France or looks like something from Milan windbreaker, and he's wearing black high-top sneakers, and he walks in right towards our table, and they see him. Right next to my son and I and the gentleman we were with. I'm talking right next to us. And this isn't a selfie thing. This isn't, hey, let's take out our phone. Let's get a selfie. Hey, I'm going to tell you the story of how I met my wife at the Stones. No, this is a high class joint. It's really big time. There is no selfies. Now, there was someone in there with a camera, and I think word got around, camera phone, put your phone away. And Mick sat next to us for a good 30 minutes, and he was at the table next to us, and I didn't hear it, nor did I care what he was saying. He was with about four guys, maybe one of his bodyguards. Someone set a choreographer for him. He sat there for about 30 minutes until even more people came, and they put him in the back of the restaurant there, which you could see right there. It was just pretty cool to see Mick Jagger. So I looked at my son as he was having dinner and we're talking. I'm going, you're not here. I'd probably have a different wife, a different son, maybe a daughter if Mick Jagger isn't in your life, because I met my wife going into a Stone show. So there's no possible way I would have met my wife if it wasn't for Mick. And my son got it, and he looked at me and I said, yeah, you're here because of that guy. So we had a beautiful night, and afterwards we wrapped up the evening, got a beautiful bag of food to go. You can't even eat a quarter of the food that you order at Piero's. It's freaking brilliant, right? So we're coming back, and my son and I, we leave, and it was just a good night, and told my wife about it. And I was bummed. It was kind of a guy's business meeting. My wife should have been there, and I actually texted her. So I texted Johnny Katz, the entertainment reporter, from my table. I said, Mick just walked in, because John's my friend, and he's the entertainment reporter in town. He had that article up in 15 minutes. 15 minutes, Mick Jagger at Piero's. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, no. There's going to be paparazzi here or not. When I left, I didn't notice any paparazzi, but when I left, Mick was still in the restaurant having dinner. So the next night, we went to the Rolling Stones, and my wife and I Ubered down to Whiskey. That's that new bar right across the street from Allegiant Stadium, owned by the Herbst. And we saw the Herbst family there. They were pre-partying there. Really cool to see this. First time I've really been in there. So that's the bar, and the Black Hole's going to be doing stuff there. There's going to be some tailgates there. There's parking. It's that giant bar on the west side of the stadium. Really the only bar there. Which it took a while, and I don't know why some people didn't get in there earlier and figure out that they needed to own a bar or build the bar there. And it was really pleasant. We had a nice group of people. We told a lot of people to meet us there. They were all able to find it easy. We had a couple of cocktails, and then my wife and I took off to go to the concert. So we walk into the concert, and the way they had it set up, we had floor seats. So we went down on the floor. You had to get a wristband, so you just couldn't walk through the general population. You had to go through the area of Allegiant Stadium that walks you right in to where you have access. Now, growing up as a kid, and I think you would relate to this no matter how old you are, I was a legend at buying a bad seat and sneaking to the front row. And I got a couple of my buddies. You know, that's a badge of honor. Wherever my seat was, I wouldn't go to my seat. I'd just go to the front row. And if I got caught, if I got thrown out a few times, I was just insane. I would find my way in. It's tough at Allegiant Stadium, man. If you don't got a seat down there, good luck getting down there. You needed a wristband. You had your ticket. The ushers were pretty tight. So we were in A4, about 30 rows back off the floor. And before the show, we went into the Wynn Club. We had access to the Wynn Club, which is unbelievable. Had a cocktail there, and people had tickets in there. Man, that's a pretty cool place. If you haven't been there for a Raider game yet, or if you want to have individual access to go, I highly recommend it. If you have tickets to a Raider game, you want to sit in your seat. But if you ever get invited to go to the Wynn Club during a game or a concert, great service, no lines, went in there, got a cocktail with the wife. And then we walked up to the front and we sat down in our seats, and we didn't sit down the whole night. We stood up, and Mick came out at 80 years old with the Stones. And that was probably, I was saying to my wife, my 16th or 17th Stone show, and it was a top five. It sounded great. So I don't want to make this sound like, I'm a spokesman for Allegiant Stadium. But when they opened it up, they had problems with sound. The first ever show, which I went to, was with Garth Brooks. They didn't figure out the sound yet. It was bouncing off the windows and the wall. A lot of people were critical of that. It sounded great. It sounded great on the floor. If you went to the show, if you sat in the upper deck in a suite, I'd love to hear what you thought of the sound at Allegiant Stadium. Whatever they needed to work on, I think they worked on. And they brought in a lot of technical support and the sound. One of my bosses I texted during the show, and I said, man, it sounds great down here. How does it sound by you? He was in a suite, and he said, outstanding. So I thought it sounded good. I think they played 2 hours and 20 minutes. Mick, at the age of 80, wasn't sprinting as much as he used to. He sprinted at the end, but he was jogging back and forth and having a good old time. The set list was great. We really enjoyed it. Didn't rush to get out of there. After the show, we went back to Whiskey to wait for the kind of surge to end. And we had a beautiful night seeing the Rolling Stones. So I'm going to head up to Vancouver and see him on July 5th. But I wanted to congratulate everybody. I looked up and Mark Davis was there. Mark Davis was in his suite. enjoying the show and bumped into a lot of people throughout the night. So fantastic, fantastic. Really happy that the Rolling Stones came through and played Allegiant Stadium again. Everybody says this after a Stone show. That's probably going to be the last time. The last time we ever see them. I hope that's not it. But I felt like when I walked out of there, if I ever see the Stones again or not in Vegas, that went off on a big, big, big way for me. It sounded good. Mick looked good. The band looked good. Everyone seemed to enjoy the show. And getting out of there, I had a lot of fun. So thanks to my buddy Chris, who got the tickets. And God, that Venmo was a big one. You know, I'm not the tech guy, right? I could barely turn on this computer. I'm not a tech guy. My wife handles everything. And my wife handles the Venmo. And when she Venmoed the amount of money for these tickets to my buddy Chris, I said, let me see how this works. And they had their phones next to each other. And the Venmo's tied to our checking account. That was a big one. I mean, look, I'm all for spending money. I don't do a lot of things. I don't gamble. So I don't have a budget for gambling and video poker and all that. I go to some nice restaurants, but kind of keep it on the down low with a lot of that. I spend most of my money on sports and concerts, and that was an expensive night. No matter where you sat, man, the Stones know what to get per tickets, and I felt like it was worth it no matter how much it cost. I had a really good time. So this week, we have Pearl Jam. I'm going to see Pearl Jam on Saturday. Whenever you get a chance to see Eddie Vedder, how could you pass up on that? So Pearl Jam is on Saturday. Excited about that, and then we'll see what happens with the concerts along the way, as there's always a good concert coming up in Vegas. So that was about 10 minutes of my night with the Stones. Johnny Katz put me in the paper on Friday night. A lot of people saw that, and we enjoyed the show, and I bumped into him on the floor on Saturday during the show. So a fun weekend in Vegas. Everything was great. I'm just getting my house ready for my mom and dad, who are coming in on Saturday. They'll be out here for 10 days. My dad's going to be 86, and he still golfs, so we're going to get him out there with my sons, his grandsons, play some golf. And Coaches versus Cancer starts on Sunday, so I'm a part of the MC team that will kick that off over at Nomad, the Nomad Pool. Sunday night, we'll do that and kick off Coaches versus Cancer with Lon Kruger. Puts on one of the best events this year. Our proud partner over at MGM Grand, as we put this together, that's always a good time. So that's going to happen also on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday of next week, as some of the biggest college basketball names will be here. A lot of the big-time coaches come out here. How could you turn down an invitation to play Shadow Creek and play Southern Highlands for golf? So the coaches will be out here. We'll be a part of Coaches vs. Cancer. That'll be Sunday and Monday. Looking forward to that. I got Vinny Bonsignor and Harry Ruiz jumping in for me a couple of days next week as we take care of that. So last thing I want to say again, it's great to be in Vegas. Great to go to all these shows. Our focus this week is schedule release. So we have that on Wednesday, probably a little leakage, not from me, on Tuesday, coming up tomorrow. And then we're going to dive into the Raiders schedule. I'll be live on Raiders Roundtable. We'll be able to do this with the Raiders, Q, our morning show. We're going to be all over this, and we're going to get you going on the schedule. Once it comes out, the marquee games, the bye week, and then go through the whole schedule, including what we're going to do in Costa Mesa, as that's getting put together. More information on that when we get it. And we found out today that the Chiefs are going to open up the season in their title defense at home against the Ravens. That's always an interesting game. That game will be Thursday, September 5th at Arrowhead Stadium. Whoever loses that game, right? I say this every year, whoever loses that game has got to wait 9 more days to play. They play that Thursday night. They don't play till the following Sunday. That's tough. And you're not supposed to win that game if you're Baltimore going into Kansas City, as they're going through a three-peat. And if Kansas City loses, right, we're all rooting against Kansas City in this game. Kansas City will have to wait 9 days. What happens if Kansas City's first game that they play? Let's go through this for a second. Let's say Kansas City loses at home. They lose their opener at home to Baltimore. What happens if Kansas City's next game is a road game in Vegas against the Raiders, coming off a loss? What would happen there? The last time Baltimore played in Kansas City was 2019, when the Chiefs won 33-28. The Ravens haven't won at Arrowhead Stadium since 2012. So the game was already announced. The point spread is up. The Chiefs opened as a 2.5-point favorite. Their over-under on the game is 47.5. The Chiefs are playing in the Thursday night opener at Arrowhead for the third time in 5 seasons. They defeated the Houston Texans in 2020 and lost to Detroit in 2023. They are 2-1 in the NFL kickoff game since it was introduced in the 2002 season. Wow, that goes back a long way. So we're going to have a busy week here. Jump on board. Anticipation. Rookie camp came and went. I don't got a lot for you on rookie camp. We were here in studio doing the shows. All the insiders who talked about Brock Bowers, we're playing the audio. That's kind of what we're doing. We're kind of killing time here, if I can tell you the truth. And I exaggerate, but I always tell you the truth. It's the slow season. And the only thing that's going to save us this week, other than rookie camp sound that we're pounding through, is the schedule release on Wednesday. Contracts getting done. And are the Raiders still available in free agency to bring in a cornerback? I got a guest or two to talk about that. 702-365-9200, JT, on a beautiful Monday. Busy week this week. It's an exciting week in the Raider Nation. Get your credit cards out. Buy your plane ticket. Get on the road with us on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Definitely, it's not really me. It's just all the coaching and all the teammates I had before me and that I played with. I had unbelievable guys, around me. I had unbelievable coaches, and they are the ones that really prepared me for this. It wasn't me. I mean, yeah, I'm the one that had to take this, take snaps, and do the work. But they're the ones that really prepared me and really had my back, 100%. So I attribute it to those guys, and I think they really prepared me well. And I think Oregon does an unbelievable job of preparing people for the league.
It's Jackson Powers Johnson, new base for the Silver and Black. He's got to be good. Raiders need him to start and be dominant as a rookie. Turn it up. The Stones played Saturday night. I loved it. You're not into it? You're not into it? Those who went loved it. It was a really good show. I got a couple people texting me. Didn't know I sat down next to Mick at dinner. No, he didn't come to see me. I saw him, and the show was great. And as I said there a little bit earlier, getting out of Allegiant Stadium, everyone should know the rules by now. Uber. I mean, I either walk over that Hacienda Bridge, or get a drop-off at Uber. A good drop-off now is by that In-N-Out Burger, Bobby. And then you can walk over to the bar, Whiskey, that we went to, and we come off the mean streets of Summerlin. We come the back way in there, down either Hacienda or Trop, and come in via the back there. I'm just surprised that more people haven't put bars in over there. It's a really unique topic because it's so industrial. All that is industrial back there, right? They got a couple electrical companies, industrial warehouses, and all that. The bar scene is never great around a stadium normally, other than game day. It's tough to get people. Like, I'm a Yankee fan. If you want to go to the Bronx, they don't have great bars. They don't. They have stands. And when the Yankees are out of town for 10 days or a week, their bars don't thrive because the bars are packed nights of games. Allegiant Stadium, I thought they'd have some more bars set up there by now and more unique spots to go. But look, I think what happened was when you built the stadium this beautiful, people want to get inside. They want to go inside the stadium and do their drink on there and have fun and walk around and do that. And it's very different. I grew up in an atmosphere where you tailgated in bars in New York. And before you went into a Knick game, we'd go into a bar for an hour and get fueled up and then go into the Knick game. And a lot of Raider fans like to tailgate outside. There's going to be some great tailgating this year. If you're joining us late, we're trying to figure out the home national game and the road national game. We don't have any inside info, just a guessing game today. Where would you like to see the Raiders play nationally on the road? Give me one game. Good choices. We got the Chargers on the road, Cincy, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, and the Rams. That's a hard road schedule. I mean, we always split against the Chargers. Kansas City, we won last year there, but it's hard. Denver, if it's in December or November, it could be a blizzard. I don't think Cincinnati's impossible to play in. Tampa Bay is not elite. Tampa Bay is not this amazing elite team that the Raiders can't beat this year. Baltimore's tough. I think it's fair to say the toughest game the Raiders will play this year on the schedule is at Baltimore. That's the toughest team, including Kansas City. But the toughest game when it comes out that I'm going to look at and go, whoa, at Baltimore. And hopefully it's not a cold weather game. And the breaking news today with the Buccaneers, the Bucs and all-pro safety Antoine Winfield that struck a deal for the first time in NFL history. The highest paid defensive back is a safety. Winfield gets a 4-year contract worth $84.1 million, $55 million fully guaranteed. $55 million fully guaranteed there for Antoine Winfield. That's a big contract for a safety. Whoa, that's big boy money there. Maury Brown coming up here in a little bit. Joe in Vegas on 920. What's going on, Joe?
JT, I was at the concert on Saturday night. That's why I ain't got no voice. It was the best show I've seen in a long time.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I saw the Rolling Stones back in Philadelphia back in the 80s, man. And it was great, man. I enjoyed myself and stuff like that. But I agree with you. I take my bike every time I go. It's just real easy. I get a parking pass. And I'm a season ticket holder, you know. So
take your motorcycle or your bicycle? Your motorcycle?
Yeah, my motorcycle.
Good. Where do you park?
I got a parking pass for G lot this year.
Nice.
I used to park in S lot, but we parked in F lot, and my son-in-law and my daughter went with us, and they rode their bike, and because we got four wheels and we pay for four wheels, we could park two bikes there, man. But that concert was off the chain, man. Mick Jagger, for what's he, 80 years old? He just runs around there. Unbelievable. You go to some of these concerts, they just stand there and they don't do nothing and stuff. And that dude was off. And Keith Richards and Ronnie Woods, unbelievable how great those guys still play, man. I'll tell you one thing. It was a good one of the best concerts I've seen in a long time. I just wish sometimes the sound system there would be better and stuff. I even thought it was better than Garth Brooks, and I love Garth Brooks. I told my wife that, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, I thought the sound is much better. I've been very transparent on that. A lot of times on the floor, I like to go see shows if I can on the floor, and the sound sounds fantastic down low. And, you know, the Allegiant Stadium is unique with the parasol windows and closing the windows and the reverb, and they invested a lot of money. They've invested a lot of money to get in there and make sure that they have tried to lessen the reverb and the bouncing back of the sound from one end to another. I think they've done a nice job. I think it's dialed in now.
Oh, it definitely got better, and plus, it was really good. It was the first time I ever sat in a club seat, so I started buying the better seats and going and sitting in those club seats. Man, that's it. We got four tickets for Billy Joel,
nice.
And freaking, I can't wait for that to come up. And I got eight tickets for George Strait, man, and my kids. I'm taking my three daughters and their spouses. And I just we're gonna have a family night out and stuff like that.
You must do well for a living, Joe. You're buying a lot of concert tickets, man. It's not cheap, man. You must be doing well, Joe.
I work a lot of hours, JT. Yeah. I work at least 70 hours a week.
Good
I'm a union
you.
Pipe fitter and stuff like that. So, but I enjoy myself,
Good.
Man. I work hard and play harder. You have a great day,
Thank
brother.
You, Joe. Good to hear from you. That's a nice phone call. He loved the show. He took his motorcycle to the show. That's cool. You take the bike to the show. No drinking and driving. The Ubers work well for me and all that. And then when you leave, you don't have to race out of there. I had a buddy of mine. I have six friends who went to the show. My wife and I and then four other guys that we were sitting with. And one of the guys was ready to run out of there right after the show ended. I go, what are you doing? And you're on the floor. You know, Bobby, when you're on the floor to a concert, you're not going to get out quick. You know, and then I don't see it at the Stones, but I see it at other places when these numbskulls leave before the encore. It's like, really? The best part of the show is the encore. You're going to leave now to beat the traffic? People get wigged out on traffic out here, man. It's tough. If you don't nail the traffic right and you want to do this or that, that's why my buddy Teo Johnson's got M-Ride. What a plug that is. He took a lot of people. M-Ride took a lot of people to those concerts and events out here. So you just go to M-Ride and go find it and Google it and see what they do. And you'll have a great way of getting in and out, a fantastic way. Maury Brown, here he is, Bizball Maury. My buddy kind enough to join us as we talk baseball and business with him from time to time. Maury, you just heard, I saw the Stones the other night. Mick really has it at the age of 80. He was incredible.
Well, I'll tell you, man, if Mick wasn't in such good shape, I mean, I wonder how long it's going to be before they're up there on walkers. And first of all, can somebody figure out how Keith Richards is still alive? But yeah, man, I mean, I think they're actually in many ways, I mean, granted, it's not like the 70s, but in many ways, it's interesting to see some of these bands and the longevity of them and actually seem to be resurging a little bit. They've seemed fresher than they've been in a while.
I'll tell you, you nailed it with the Stones. I've been to a lot of Stone shows. You would think there'd be a little bit of slight deterioration. It wasn't. They're playing in a football stadium where the Raiders play. They dialed in the sound right. They played a long set, 2.5 hours, and it's all predicated on Mick's energy going up and down the catwalk. But I will tell you, Keith is getting older. I mean, the last time I saw him was in Liverpool with the Stones a couple of years ago. He is looking like he's aging fast, Maury. That's the guy we got to keep an eye on.
Well, you know, again, I thought he was going to drop dead a couple decades ago.
Yeah,
and
decades
there's some
ago.
People that seem to defy the laws of aging, and Keith Richards has got to be one of them.
Let's jump into baseball. The Angels are in the tank again. Trout's hurt. Are you hearing anything about Trout potentially waiving his no-trade clause now? This is just sad now for Trout. That lineup that the Angels have out there isn't even competitive. It's everybody who's played on another team. And it's at the point now where they got to break it down and do it again. I don't know what their draft prospects looked like, Maury, but when Trout comes back healthy, I think that Trout's got to try to cut the cord with this franchise and hook up with a contender. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything of that, but that, you know, there does become a point. But I thought that point came and went a while ago. I really did. I mean, there is the whole, you know, hashtag free Mike Trout going around on social media, and for good reason. I think this is it's amazing that a player of that caliber, right, that until his former teammate came along in Shohei Ohtani, we were having a discussion about Mike Trout being one of the greatest of all time, and yet here he will be remembered for letting his career languish with such a poorly run organization. Their draft picks are bad. I mean, their prospect pool is bad. And this is the problem with the Angels in general. I mean, they just don't have the ability to go out and do it. And I don't think that anything really happens of substance until Artie Moreno sells the team. But I haven't heard anything on this. And it does make me wonder, you know, whether he would waive it at the end. But it would have to be a heck of a deal. I mean, the candidates for him would have to be, you know, somewhere where he could, of course, get into the playoffs and do something with it.
Maury Brown joins us from Forbes. All three leaders in the American League only have a half a game lead. The Mariners a half game over the Rangers, Guardians half game over Minnesota, and the Orioles two games in the loss column, but a half a game on the Yankees there. Great races early on, and I know you keep an eye on the Mariners. In the Pacific Northwest, the Rangers won the World Series, but I think the Mariners and the way they've played as of late here, especially their pitching has given up the least amount of runs in that division there. You think Seattle can win that division over the world champion Rangers this year?
I don't, and here's why. Okay. I think the biggest thing, JT, is I've never seen anything so out of balance in my life in terms of pitching being so good and hitting being so bad. And the thing, it's just going to take, you know, as pitching goes, you know, it gets stretched. And at the end of the season, it'll be interesting, right? But then, of course, someone will say everybody has that problem, you know, at the end of the season. But if they don't make some significant, you know, deals at the trade deadline for bats, I don't see them doing it. I can't see it. It's been up and down. Now, if you had told me that the Rangers were going to go ahead and lose as much as they did to the Rockies, I would have told you there was no way. I mean, I thought, you know, the A's, the Rockies, they were going to be basically the Rangers hanging around in first. But, you know, it's just a half a game. I think the big story, though, is what you said. Look how competitive it is. The AL Central, I never saw coming. I mean, if you told me that there would be four teams over 500 in the AL Central, I would tell you to go out and buy lottery tickets.
Maury Brown is our guest. Tell us about Paul Skenes coming in and throwing 17 pitches over 100 miles an hour, struck out 7 in his MLB debut for the Pirates. The former top pick here, he's got a social media girlfriend. He's a big celebrity, and he plays for one of the worst organizations in baseball, really. We saw other pitchers go there from Gerrit Cole. That doesn't end well for those who pitch in Pittsburgh, but this guy's got nasty stuff. Tell us what we should expect if a lot of listeners haven't seen him pitch yet.
Well, they should watch him because the last time I saw an outing like that was Steven Strasburg's debut. And it was, I mean, for those that weren't around or paying attention back then, it was, that was all we could talk about. That's all anybody could talk about. And I think that this is the same thing. I think that we really, you know, are on the cusp of seeing something special. Now, look, is he going to sustain this forever? Probably not. I mean, batters tend to figure out pitchers once they see him a few times. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that that you're going to see some greatness over the next 2 or 3 months that makes it worthwhile seeing. The velocity itself is the thing that's just mind-blowing, I think. You know, again, that's something that over time you wonder how long he'll be able to keep that up. But again, I mean, he did. He made batters look silly. And, you know, kudos to the Pirates. You know, at least they did something right for once. You know, they went out and drafted well and got a premier pitcher. Whether they use him, of course, and dump him at some point, or he walks away in free agency, well, that seems to be the Pirates' way, unfortunately.
Maury Brown from Forbes joins us. What are you hearing about the Cubs? 24-17, 13-6 at home, really playing well. A team now that didn't let the Brewers run away with that division. They're a game behind them. My wife's a Cub fan. We got the Cubs on in the house whenever they play here. I like this team. I think they could hold off easily the Cardinals, Reds, Pirates. Do we have a two-horse race in the Central between the Brewers and the Cubs? Who do you like more?
Yeah, this is a great question. I'm going to have to err on the Brewers because, you know, everybody gets streaky, but it's always good for baseball when the Cubs are doing well. And, mm-hmm. you know, they have been down for a while. You know, whether this is due to regression from other teams, I certainly, you know, I don't know if anybody saw the Cardinals being this bad for this long. But now I had thought that they were going to snap out of it and start racing up the standings. And here they are, you know, we're going to come up to the end of May and it's possible that they're still in the tank. So I like it. I really do. Now, look, I could be totally wrong here. But, you know, as I look at this early on, I think, again, if you're Major League Baseball right now, I just look at all these races and while some of them are going away, much of this looks good. Here's something, you know, around that. I think, again, with the Cubs, but here's something to think about, JT, about how these races are. If you had told me that the Washington Nationals being 8 games out in the NL East, but only being a game and a half out in the wild card, you would sit there and go, what? How does that even work? So the good thing for baseball is right now that while there is this disparity in some senses, right, some teams are absolutely horrible. I would hate to be a White Sox fan right now. There is good competitiveness going on in and around the standings toward the top, which is always what you want. You don't want to see, you know, a lot of really good and a lot of really bad and a lot of meh in the middle. We're seeing, you know, teams match up pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, could I be totally wrong and the Cubs could run away with this thing later on? Sure. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Do I see, you know, the Brewers going away? I don't. They seem pretty locked in.
Absolutely. Maury Brown. Maury, one more, because with Forbes, you talk a lot about digital and streaming on top of these rights fees for baseball. Is there anything promising on the horizon you could share for us with the regionals and Bally's going under and some teams not having the radio rights that they used to? Radio seems to be going away on the AM dial. A lot of these teams, their flagships were on the AM dial for 70 years. What's happening now with Rob Manfred and getting more baseball out, not behind paywalls, so more and more fans could watch easily? What are you hearing?
Well, the Bally's thing is really an open-ended question because for the longest time, I think a lot of people thought that it was going to completely go under. And baseball had been ready for that. And now they seem to have been thrown a lifeline by DirecTV. I would say this, baseball, all of, and this is by design, kind of like how free agency worked. When the advent of free agency came along, it was letting only certain players trickle out, which would drive up demand. Television deals work the same way. You don't want them ending and starting all at the same time. You want them staggered. And what happens here is that as those contracts stagger in, you're going to start to see the either the clubs walk away from them or seeing, you know, you're going to see Diamond Sports Group drop them altogether. What Rob Manfred wants is to basically create his own network of teams that would all be on MLB TV, basically. And the hope here is to get more than half the league. Those are the ones under Bally or the ones that are under Time Warner Discovery that are also on the bubble. I mean, there's a bunch of them. We're just at this inflex right now, this pivotal point between streaming and traditional TV. And the NBA, you know, the NBA is cutting and running. The NHL is too. Baseball is trying to figure out how to do this thing. And they've got to get it figured out. You know, I don't know what they've got going on the national side. That's another thing, whether ESPN opts out or whether they go and want to renegotiate for a lower carriage fee. But it's a difficult time for baseball. They feasted on when the rights bubble was there, and they might get dinged on it pretty hard here, given how many games, you know, go on in Major League Baseball.
Hey, thank you, wife, for giving me a few minutes with you, Maury. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, JT, man. You take care of yourself.
Take care, Maury. Maury Brown. Appreciate that. Fantastic. You know, I like to talk to Maury about sports because he's Forbes and he's mostly baseball. But he mentioned there at the end about streaming. And what's happening is a huge topic for everyone in my business and in your life, too, if you're a sports fan. And how you're going to find ways to watch sports on TV. And streaming seems the way to do it. Streaming something seems to be the way they do it. From boxing to UFC to baseball, they're all trying to figure a way to get the younger demographic who all know how to stream better than anybody who's over the age of 40 or 50 or 60. They're not looking for those individuals anymore. If you're 60 years old, you're dead to the television networks. They don't want any. They don't care what you do. They think that you're not going to buy cars anymore. They don't think you're going to buy anything, laundry detergent or anything. They think you're finished. So they want to kind of hook these kids from the age of 15 to 25 and find out what they're watching and how they're going to do it. And I have a household now. I got a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old, and everything they do is streamed on their phones to our TVs. It's on the phone, then it gets streamed to the TV, and there it is. Anything that's going to cost me less on my cable package, I'm good with. I told you I made the switch to YouTube TV. I've been generally happy with it. And what they're trying to do in football now with these NBC games, so we just found out that NBC is going to get a game, exclusive content game, right before Christmas. I want to make sure I get that date right, so give me a second here. I think they said it was December 21st is the day that they're going to try to get here. So when you look at the dates that are coming up here, they want to just have one game on these streaming devices, one game. Yeah, the 21st is a Saturday in December. If they put one game on Peacock, they're trying to get you to download and subscribe to Peacock and threaten you that you're going to miss the game. And more people have to say, the hell with it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to a sports bar and watch the game. I'm not going to download and pay for Peacock. I'm not going to pay for Amazon. I get Amazon because I have 100 boxes a day coming to my house. Everything. From Q-tips to a tube of toothpaste, it comes right to my house. Ding, dong, ding, coming in. So I guess I get Amazon for free on Thursday night as an Amazon Prime member. Yeah, you better believe that. Amazon Prime scam day. I guess I'm part of that. And then the other streaming devices going forward. I don't know. I have to do this. It's a write-off. My dad looks for write-offs. The only ones I ever seem to get are cable subscriptions or my write-offs and a couple of dinners every year here in Vegas. So I'm going to get it anyway, but fans are getting upset about this. And a lot of fans that are getting upset with being gouged. Steph McKenzie, our great program director, the rock jock and diehard Raider fan, I invited her in studio this week, maybe to do a half hour, 20 minutes with us, on how Vegas is now starting to gouge people. I'm pro-Vegas. I don't want to run for mayor, but I feel like I have the DNA of a mayor in town. I want everybody to have fun in Vegas. Hey, Vegas, you better be careful with gouging everybody now. I'm just telling you. I'm not talking about Stones tickets. Stones tickets going to cost you grand, $800 to be in a good seat. I get that. But everything happening in this town, it's time to slow it down a bit and roll back some prices here. You know, not everybody coming in here is on a private jet from Morocco. Okay, there are some people here that want to just enjoy their lives and be local and don't want to spend $18 for a beer and $24.50 for a vodka soda. get some of these casinos to roll back the prices a little bit. And I'm not talking about deep, deep, deep downtown in a nook and cranny downtown where I'm not going to go to. Start rolling back some prices a little bit and do some more for the locals here in town. Everybody we're involved with as our partners have a local feel, like the M Resorts Bond Casino. I don't feel gouged when I go into the M. I think the prices are okay, from Anthony's Restaurant to the Raiders Tavern and Grill. But a message to all of Las Vegas, you casino billionaires, start lowering some bleeping prices, man, and get some locals in there so we can all have a good time here locally.
Kick out Jason Tatum.
This has to be a zone, man.
Tatum made on the shot clock. He knifes his way into the zone. A 12-footer is good. And there's the first made field goal for the Celtics in the fourth quarter with 7:45 to go. Boston leads by 20.
Oh, that's Bobby's team. He is a Celtic fan, and the Celtics look to be better than everybody. They stink up one game in a series. We'll see what happens, and we'll get going here. A lot of people fighting me on the Chargers on the internet. A lot of Twitter tough guys coming after me, man. They're all over me. This guy says, look at these guys, man. These Charger fans. Bolts, baby 25 says, 58,000 followers, JT, and you're speaking out of your blank right there. It shows you're not very smart. We lost Mike Williams in week 3. Allen Herbert gone for 4. Lost 5 by 1 score. O-line and tight end with large upgrades. We block well for Jim Harbaugh. You can't see that? Wow. Scoring will be easier. And I responded to this guy and said, I've been at every Raiders-Chargers game for 25 years. Your team doesn't win much. They don't win much. They don't. The Chargers don't win much. They just don't. They're supposed to win. They win the offseason. They win the offseason every year, man. The Chargers, no matter who they have, win the offseason. They do. Everybody loves them in the offseason. It's quite incredible. Raider Dave in Denver. Hello, Dave. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I absolutely do. They're the NFL darlings because they want to push so hard to have a team that's any good in Los Angeles. They've wanted to do it ever since the Raiders have left.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah,
I appreciate you letting me get in here today. This idea for the summer is fantastic. I can't wait to listen all summer as people battle and debate the 10 greatest games in Raider history, which is so easy for me. I just wanted to take a minute and blow through them. The name games of Heidi, C and Hands, Ghost of the Post, and Holy Roller, and of course, Immaculate Deception, because most of these name games changed certain aspects of the NFL to this day. You know, the next three have to be the Super Bowl wins to get to 8 of these. You can't omit those from a team that has a motto of just win. Mm-hmm. And the last two are where the argument probably starts for me and many others, I would guess. And I will love listening all summer, like I say, to hear the opinions mm-hmm. of Raider 66 and others who have followed this team for more than 30 years. Because if you're young, there's really no way to know how big these games were that I've mentioned earlier and actually still stand to this day. The other two, to me anyway, have to be when the Raiders stopped the undefeated Dolphins. People don't really talk about that much, but only the Colts beat the Dolphins late in that season. If you could think of 14 games a season and Miami Dolphins going for 28 games and only losing twice, it'll show you what kind of dominance that the Raiders, the Steelers, and Miami Dolphins had in the AFC back in those mm-hmm. days. And I can understand the other game being there, too, as a tuck rule game, but that was just too much of a heartbreaker to really be that great of a game, I think, for the Raiders. So the last one is a bit more debatable, and I can understand if anyone wants to put a modern game of 62 points against the Chargers in there. Mm-hmm. But, man, when I was at the L.A. Coliseum...
Quick, Dave, I'm running out of time. Quick, give me the game.
Yeah, when I was at the L.A. Coliseum, I watched the Bengals try to stop Bo Jackson, and the air that was let out of that stadium, it was iconic. It was a pull down from behind. It changed the NFL, man. Those are my 10.
Thank you. We'll count on you to help us out as we get closer to that. Breaking news. The Detroit Lions have signed Jared Goff to a 4-year extension, $212 million. $212 million. Goff is now the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Can you believe that Jared Goff is the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL? When are these contracts going to stop? You don't deserve to be the second highest paid quarterback in the league. But the numbers change, and everybody wants to continue to give these guys more and more money. I guess they have to get more money because the TV contracts keep going up. Thanks to Maury Brown, Harry Ruiz. Appreciate everybody. Good show today. Good phones. Everyone was excited. Q's coming up next. He has a big rundown and a big show, so jump on that. Be back tomorrow. We're one step closer. The NFL schedule releases Wednesday. Keep it here all day to the flagship of the Raiders. We'll have in-depth team coverage of the schedule release, which is always a fun time. I'm at Wynn Resort, Wynn Las Vegas, from 4 to 7 on Sirius XM 82. So my double dip Monday, Sunday continues. Almost got it to the finish line. Have a great night, everyone.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.